Hello, welcome to the 5 Minute Geek Show, episode 4, which is the one where we talk Doc Blocks. Last time, 9.5 minutes long, a little bit too long. Gonna have a little bit less talking and schmiffling around outside of the actual content. So I'm working on getting the podcast, the audio podcast, actually up and running. I'm working with SoundCloud to get it set up as an RSS feed so I can submit it to iTunes. We're not there yet. Cool. I'll tell you guys more when I actually know more about it. Yeah, I think I'm just going to get straight to the content today. I've got all these geeky things I want to talk about in terms of the website and stuff like that, but I feel like when I spend 4 minutes talking about this, the podcast, it should be its own episode. So I should probably have an episode every once in a while about making the website, and one about the podcast, one about video logging, all that kind of stuff. So for now, skip all that. I'm just going to start going. So 1, 2, 3, start your counters, 5 minutes, geek show. So today we're talking about Doc Blocks. So if you're not a PHP developer, a doc block is, or Java or whatever, a doc block is a little block of comments that lives above a method signature. So for example, if you have something that says, you know, you got a class that's named person, and then you've got a method on the class that says, you know, do thing. Well, do thing will probably take a couple different parameters. One's maybe the name of the thing, and maybe the other parameters like the name of the person you're doing the thing to. And then it's going to return something, and maybe it returns a Boolean, like did thing or didn't thing, or maybe it returns an array or whatever. It returns something. So a doc block is a way for you to say at the top of, right above the method, here's what, you know, a quick little description, here's what I did, or here's what this method does, and then a little parameter notation, you know, this first parameter is named this, and it should be of type this, and it should do this. And then the second parameter is this, and it's of type this, and it should, you know, whatever. And the return is of type this. So we're talking about the difference between strictly typed languages, dynamically typed languages. And the distinction here is, in a strictly typed language, those things aren't even special. It's just, it's always there because you're always doing what we call type hinting in PHP, which is basically you're always defining that everything comes in as the specific format. It's always going to be an integer. It's always going to be an array. It's always going to be whatever. And you can't even write your methods without doing that. Whereas in the dynamically typed languages, you can never talk about that. You just say, there's something named isPerson, and I know that since it's got is in front of it, it's probably a Boolean. That's it. Well, PHP has this really weird space where it is a dynamically typed language, but it's got type hinting, and especially a lot of folks who are kind of trying to grow PHP as an infrastructure, as an environment, are adding more of that kind of stuff. We're trying to add return type hinting, which is saying when you define a method, you can also define it must return something of this type. And type hinting, if you're not familiar with it, basically says when I have a parameter, I'm not just saying parameter, you know, person to do this to. I have a parameter person to do this to, and it must be of type, which means of the class person. And so you're able to have a much stricter kind of control over this method because you know that the second parameter person to do this to is actually of type person, which means you know it has certain methods or data available or whatever. So the issue with doc blocking is a lot of folks will look at a doc block and they'll say, all these comments, many lines of comments just to tell me how this thing's going to work. If I just named it well, it would be clear. You know, person is a person. Person to do this thing is still a person. Okay, cool. You know, this particular variable is prefaced with the word is. You know, if it says is good or is bad, you can usually tell it's going to be true or false. Why do I need to doc block that? And a lot of the complaints you hear is like, well, the doc blocks always get out of sync with the reality or whatever else. And I have really great conversations with a lot of folks about this recently, especially Jesse O'Brien, who's awesome and just kind of keeps saying, look, hey, you're, you know, not thinking about this, you're not thinking about that. And one of the things these folks point to a lot is, one, PHP is a dynamically typed language. And two, look at other dynamically typed languages like Ruby. They're not worrying about doc blocks. They just write short expressive methods, and then that's it. So essentially, to me, there's a lot of pieces involved in whether or not you decide to do this, and a lot of them for us has to do with how big is your team and who else is going to use it. So for us, we're often in the enterprise context where somebody other than us is going to be using this code in the future. We need to trust that some team who doesn't work the way we work but works in the same language is going to be able to understand what's going on, what the return looks like. How many times have I worked with a piece of code where people are doing crazy checking for is that null or does that array have that key set? That kind of checking is crazy. And some of it's fixed just by doing type hinting, but some of it is fixed by being very explicit about what it is that we're actually dealing with here and what a return can and can't be. So that's one piece of it. But another piece of it is, in the end, and this is kind of where we're leaning right now, what if you only doc block the things that need doc blocking? And that says, basically, if it's clear from the method signature what it's accepting, what it does, and what its returns are going to look like, then maybe you don't need a doc block. And if that's the case, well, wow, that's really powerful, because then a doc block, first of all, you only need to do it maybe on your public methods. You only need to do it when it's unclear. But also, it can start to become a little bit of a code smell, because you could say, oh, man, if in order for somebody to use this particular method, we need to doc block it, maybe that means we need to simplify it down. And often that has something to do with it's too long. It has too many parameters. The parameters are poorly named. The method's poorly named. So I'm not 100% in one direction or another. I definitely see some of the value of lots of doc blocking, especially if you need to generate API documentation, or if people who don't know your way of naming or things are working is going to be working in the code later. But I also see the value of kind of trimming things down a little bit. So it's up in the air. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but I'm out of time. But I want to hear from y'all. So please, yes, y'all. I'm an American. I live in the South. On Twitter, on whatever communications medium, tell me your thoughts on this. Doc block, no block, not doc block. Let's talk about it. Okay, out of time. That was 5 minutes. I haven't figured out my theme song. Okay, this guy lives here. Audio podcast listeners, there's Davey. If you ever seen that Mountain Dew commercial where the guy goes, "Oh, Davey," I love that commercial so much that my brother bought me a bobblehead of Davey. So Davey's gonna sing you guys a song. You know what? Adam Wathen just started working with Titan this week, which is really great. And he likes crazy heavy metal stuff. And when I think of somebody bobbleheading, can you hear that, audio people? I think of heavy metal. So,
5 Minute Geek Show.